you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
When I was growing up, we had a tradition in my family. My dad was a pastor, and as a pastor, the churches that he pastored when I was growing up always had what we called a watch night service. Now, the watch night service was on New Year's Eve. Other people were out partying and trying to bring in the new year with toasts of champagne and making out and all that sort of thing. We, of course, were deeply spiritual people. We gathered at the church instead, and there was no booze, just prayer. You can imagine how exciting this was for me as a young child. Though I don't really think I would have had a better time being babysat while my parents went out boozing. I stayed for hours in these prayer services, year after year after year after year, and heard people crying out to the Lord for revival in our country, for the spread of the gospel around the world, and for real changes in our lives. And I must say, having grown up with that as the norm, I didn't feel like I was missing anything. The first church that I pastored in New England, it was a church start, so of course we were able to start our own traditions too, and we had a watch night service there. Then I moved to a larger and more prosperous church in Atlanta, Georgia, and when I talked with them about the watch night service that we'd have on New Year's Eve, everybody looked at me as if I was speaking in tongues. What are you talking about? They were all going to parties because that's what they were used to. That was their culture. And the Bible doesn't, in fact, say that every New Year's Eve, Christians are supposed to gather in churches for prayer. But I'll tell you something. That was an adjustment for me. The first year I was at that church, we had a watch night service. And some people were nice enough to come over and spend a little bit of time there praying with us. Then they left to go to the places where they'd been gathering for years, not to booze it up, but just to celebrate with their friends in the way that they were more accustomed to doing. I decided that was not a hill worth dying on. There were plenty of things I was asking the church in Atlanta to do differently. And in order to ask them to do that too would seem a little over the top, especially since, as I said, there's no biblical mandate. I decided I would focus instead on trying to get the church in Atlanta to do the things that God commands and not do things that God doesn't command. But I wonder, those of you who are listening, have you ever thought about how you do celebrate New Year's Eve and what would be an appropriate way? I've told you before on this broadcast that when I was growing up, we had a plaque in our home on the wall by the door that said, "What if it were today?" And we never had to talk about what does that mean. We all knew what that meant. We were looking forward to the return of the Lord. That's what Christians are supposed to do. The Bible tells us that these promises are for those who are looking forward to that blessed hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should be, whether on New Year's Day or on any other day, looking forward to the Lord's coming. But it's appropriate to have milestones. It's appropriate to have times when we pause and we consider that time is rushing by, that we're all getting older, whether it's a birthday or Christmas or New Year's, we're all getting older. And the passage of those milestones is a good opportunity for us to reflect. So on this New Year's Eve, whatever you're going to be doing at midnight tonight, I hope at some point through the evening, you'll pause and consider the fact that one of these days, Jesus, our Lord, is returning, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that said, I want for a few moments to take us back to the book of Amos. Because Amos was writing to a culture where a lot of people, let's just say, talked about the day of the Lord and longing for the day of the Lord, longing for the Lord to come, but they didn't really have a clue what they were asking for. And so listen in Amos chapter 5 to what God says to those folks. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. Wow. See, when I was growing up, the idea that we were longing for the day of the Lord, well, that's what we're supposed to do. And dear people, that is what we're supposed to do. But not when we're in unrepentant sin. Not when we're acting as if we're ready. I've shared on numerous occasions the story of my father, who was a very wonderful man, loved Jesus, was zealous for the gospel, wanted to see people come to Christ, but didn't always have the best social skills. He was a delightful guy. Great sense of humor, wonderful storyteller, but painfully shy. My mom was the one who helped him get through social situations because he was so insecure. But my dad had made a commitment while he was in Bible school at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago back during the Depression. He'd made a commitment in response to some preacher who came and spoke in the chapel and encouraged young people to make such commitments. He'd made a commitment that he would try and share the gospel with at least one person every day. Well, Dad was working in the Ford plant to try and pay his way through Bible college. And he'd worked a double shift that day. It was the Depression. Crime in that part of Chicago was very high at that time. Dad was standing on a street corner waiting for the car to come. And there was a man standing next to him. Dad was in a workman's coat with his collar turned up against the wind. And he saw this man standing just a couple of feet away from him in a beautiful overcoat, and briefcase, newspaper nicely folded, reading it. And Dad realized late that night, that man is probably the last guy I'll see today with whom I could try and share the gospel. I need to try and talk to that man. So Dad worked up his courage as best he could and took a step closer to the man. The man took a step away from Dad. Dad hesitated a moment and then tried again, moving over closer to the man, trying to catch his eye. The man refused to look at Dad, but took another step away further from Dad. Well, just then the street car began to come into view. And as it approached, Dad thought it's now or never. So he stepped right up, got in the guy's face, and said in his bass voice that's too deep for me to imitate properly, "Mister, are you ready to meet God?" Well, the man, thinking that his life was imperiled by a would-be assailant, ran and jumped headfirst into the streetcar while it was still moving. And my dad stood there and thought for a moment, what did he do that for? Then he realized what the man was thinking. And he laughed. He didn't mean to scare the guy. He was just trying to ask him a question that you and I need to ponder. Are you ready to meet God? You see, if we're saying, oh, the day of the Lord, I long for the day of the Lord, but we're living wicked, unrepentant lives, we're not ready. We are not ready. You may have driven through parts of rural America where someone had painted on a barn or the side of a mountain, prepare to meet thy God. That's another wonderful Old Testament prophetic warning. Prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? What if it were today? What if instead of watching the ball drop in New York City tonight, or the peach drop down in Atlanta, what if instead, before the stroke of midnight this night, the Lord Jesus returned? What if instead of a bunch of party horns, it was the last trumpet call, and suddenly you and I were ushered into the presence of the King? Are you ready? Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord, Amos says. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. Well, not for everybody. No, not for everybody. But for many, many people who are unprepared right now. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're told that we should not think the Lord is slow concerning his promise. God's going to keep his promise. Jesus Christ is going to come again. But right now, he's giving more time for people to repent. Do you know anybody who needs to hear the gospel who may not have heard it yet? Do you have a relative, a coworker, a friend that you need to be more intentional about praying for, reaching out to? Do you have a family member who you've been thinking, I really ought to share my testimony with that person. I need to tell them what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Well, how about New Year's Eve? What if you said, you know, I don't want to let this year end without sharing with you what Jesus Christ has done for me. Do you mind if I talk with you a few minutes about what Jesus has done? Now, I'm not suggesting that if you do that, everybody's going to say, oh, please, I'm so glad you shared that. You've changed my life. You may be as awkward and insecure about it as my dad was that day in Chicago. And the response of the person you try and share with may be as off-putting or comical as the person who runs and jumps headfirst into a moving vehicle. I don't know what the result will be, but I do know this. We shouldn't let this milestone go by without at least taking a few minutes to consider who needs to hear the gospel. Maybe it's you. Maybe you have listened to this broadcast before, or today's your first day. But you're realizing, you know, I've never really responded to the claims of Christ. I haven't really yielded my life to him. I believe that there is a God, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But I've never really surrendered my life to him. Folks, don't put it off. You're missing the blessing. All the days that you let go by, walking in self-will and trying to do things your way and trying to hold out because you're afraid of what will happen if you give everything over to God. Jim Elliot said it a long time ago. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You and I, who try to save our lives, keeping control, not admitting that we need Jesus, we will have no hope until we come to the point of saying, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up. I know that I need Jesus. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But see, to believe in him the way that it talks about in John 3:16 doesn't just mean believing with your head, believing intellectually. It means to trust Him, to surrender to Him, to depend upon Him, to realize you don't have a plan B. You don't have a parachute in case this Jesus thing doesn't work out. Jesus is your whole hope. He's the one in whom you place your trust. If you're looking to Him, if you're counting on Him, then let me tell you, you will not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. He will see you through. He doesn't promise that if you yield your life to Him, your life will be easy. He promises that if you yield your life to Him, your life will be hard. How's that for a sales pitch? But that's what Jesus says. He says that if you choose to follow Him, if you yield everything to Him, you're going to find that a lot of people will reject you. A lot of people will make fun of you. A lot of people won't invite you to their parties anymore. That's what He says. But that doesn't mean there won't be parties, because there are other people who are desperately longing for the life that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, no sin can satisfy. Sin can give you pleasure for a season, but it can't satisfy. There is no way to find that peace that passes understanding, or that joy that is inexpressible and full of glory, except in Jesus. He's the only one who offers that. And He offers it at the cost of His own life. He gave up everything in order that we might have everything we need in Him. I want to say thank you to those of you who have responded to our appeal. We've been asking for your support to help the children at Ware's Valley Ranch. We've heard from a number of you. We need to hear from a bunch more, but I want you to know we're grateful, and I hope all of you are praying for us. We need your support here at year end especially, and we want to thank you who have given, and thank you who are praying for us, and encourage you just to help as the Lord directs. Whatever He puts on your heart, we will be grateful for your help. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus
So again, tonight, New Year's Eve, what are you going to do to celebrate? Is it okay to get together with friends and have a party? Sure it is. But your party needs to honor the Lord. You need to be sure that you're not doing something that's going to create regret and embarrassment tomorrow. You need to conduct yourself as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, wherever you're going to be tonight, when you celebrate the end of one year and the beginning of a new, you shouldn't just think about the promise of fresh beginnings. You should think about the promises of God, who offers us the ultimate new beginning if we're born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Is it okay to sing Auld Lang Syne? Well, sure it is. It's great to remember old acquaintances. It's great, especially if you want to make sure that those old acquaintances have heard the gospel and that they know that if they have questions about the Lord, you're happy to try and help them find answers. You may say, well, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a preacher. I haven't been to seminary. I don't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers to everybody's questions. You just need to know the person of Jesus so that you can introduce people to Him. He's not a concept, you know. He's alive, and He's Lord, and He's ready to meet with those who seek Him. God promises in His Word, if with all your heart you truly seek Me, you will ever surely find Me. That's God's promise. The problem is that people don't seek the Lord. They run the other way. So when you find somebody who's really interested, somebody who really wants to know, you can know from that that God has been pursuing that person and wooing them and drawing their heart. Don't be afraid to say, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll be glad to try and find out for you. And then begin to look. Study God's Word. Contact us. I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. God does. And he tells us what we need to know in his word, and I'd be happy to try and work with you to find answers. What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? Is he invited to go with you where you're going? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to make sure that you're not just aware of his presence, but that you are yielded to him, and that you want this night to be one that he'll enjoy. Talk with him. Spend time in conversation with him. Ask him how he'd like to spend the evening, and then do that. Oh, my word, are you saying we just need to sit around and read our Bibles and pray? No. No, I think it's fine to do other things besides reading your Bible and praying. But you need to pray without ceasing. You need to constantly be going before the Lord and in an attitude of joyful surrender to the Lord Jesus. Whatever you're doing, whether you're going out to eat with friends, whether you're having a dessert, whether you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock, that's fine. Whatever. Just be sure that your attitude is one of surrender to the Lord, eagerness to please him, looking forward to seeing him as one who is reconciled through faith. You see, it's not about us. We're not okay with God because we do the right thing all the time. God sent Jesus so that all of our sins would be atoned for and his perfect righteousness would be credited to our account. Now, folks, if you have not experienced that, please contact us. I would love to talk with you. If you want to talk, if you want prayer, if you want more information, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 866-41-ABIDE. You can also visit us on the web. We've got lots of printed material that you're welcome to order, and we would love for you to start the new year with some good books to read. My wife and I have done about a dozen so far, and we'd love for you to avail yourself of some of those resources. Go to the website, wvr.org. But folks, the most important thing for you to be sure of is that you really know Jesus. You can. You can speak to him right now. Just say, Lord, I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to not only forgive me, but give me a new life. I want to serve you. I want to be what you want me to be. And you know what? Even if you don't know exactly which words to use, God knows your heart. And if you'll surrender your life to him, stop running. Just surrender your life to Jesus. Ask him to take control. He will. And everything will be made new. Again, I'm not saying all your problems will go away. I'm saying that you'll never have to face them alone again. Because now you'll not just have a friend. You'll have the power to do the will of God. When we get saved, we don't just get forgiven. God himself takes up residence in our lives, and he begins to change us from the inside out. Now, you may say, well, I prayed a prayer years ago when I was a kid, but I haven't seen any change in my life. Well, then the Bible says you need to make your calling and election sure. You need to be sure that you really are born again. If you're not sure, I know somebody who knows, Jesus. And if what you're saying is, well, I want to do what I've got to do in order to go to heaven, then you're not on your way to heaven. But if you realize, oh God, I need you to do what I can't do in order to save me, I need you to change me, make me the person you want me to be, forgive my sins. I know I've messed up, but please, Lord, forgive my sins and make me brand new. Ah, he'll do that. He will do that. That's not my promise. That's his promise. And he keeps all of his promises. God bless you. Have a happy new year. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.